at the Arkansas Correctional Institute.
Very popular. There are probably a lot of listeners to show there.
That's funny you say that, because when you look at things like the streaming demographic and Twitter analytics, as it happens, Louisville, New York and Louisville are the two biggest markets
It could be actually a whole new approach to rehabilitation. They, like the Clockwork Orange, they lock the prisoners up and they work and listen to 24 hours for like consecutive weeks of your show. I mean, they just, I think they'd be ready to do anything at that point.
Well, they might want to come to the racetrack and pick up a rub rag and start walking hots.
One way to look at it.
Well, they already do that, right? They've got the second chance program.
That's a great program.
Right.
Tremendous program.
Well, Andy, staying here this week for HBPA, the convention starts tomorrow and goes through Friday, and then I'll head down to Florida for Saturday for Fountain of Youth Day, and Tampa's coming up, and you're drawing the card tomorrow for Gotham. There's a carryover Friday. At Aqueduct.
Are you the keynote speaker at the HBPA?
D. Wayne Lucas is the keynote speaker.
Not you?
Nope.
That was very generous of you to let Wayne do that.
Well, Wayne's on a roll.
Wayne is on a roll. No doubt about it.
Wayne is...
I wish he'd won both states on Saturday.
I know. You were all over Ethereal Road.
Yeah, he was a crazy price. He also ran the best race.
He did, and it's funny. We just that just came up minutes ago in the last segment. We had a really fun time with Nick Zito, Ron Moquette, and Sandy Montgomery. And Sandy said that same thing, that maybe if Ethereal Road had been a little bit closer, to the inside, when he saw that, when that horse did get in his field of vision, he jumped forward.
If he had been a little closer to the inside, he would have lost less ground than he would have won.
Well, that too. That's a different argument. That's a different discussion.
That's the main one. How come horses pass other horses when they see each other?
Well, it depends on who's where. No,
I have a very different opinion on most things in racing than a lot of people.
Well,
doesn't make me right.
Well, meanwhile, I mean, let's talk. Actually, I don't, not to start, they might as well start here, because you guys, of course, were covering it, and Saturday was part of the cross country and all that. Talk about the filly, Wayne's filly, and there's been some discussion at Derby Trail about whether she's a generational talent.
Yeah, that's dumb. She's a really nice horse. I mean, I think it's nice because, first of all, it's Wayne sort of being back in the picture in these big races. He's always it's always fun to have Wayne involved. And but it's a division that outside of Echo Zulu is extremely wanting at this point. There's some okay horses out there, but if she was so much better in the competition last year, she's a very nice horse. I don't think that she's, the greatest thing to come along since Ruffian, but she's a very nice horse. And it was a division besides her that just had nothing. And that always can change a lot, especially it'll change. I mean, you think about last year, Malathon came later, waited that was L search results, didn't break her maiden until either the end of January, early December, early January. So, horses come along, and this is a horse for Wayne. It's like a typical horse. Ethereal World is the same way. It didn't seem like anything of consequence early in the career, the first few starts, but that's kind of vintage Wayne. And, you think of Will Take Charge, right? I mean, only idiots like me better than Derby and Priebus. And she really asserted herself in that. She had a very fast pace to win a tough allowance race. But she got a fast pace, but she really ran. I remember, I think Lafitte was on with me when she won that allowance race. And we were both pretty impressed, but she also got a fast pace, and sometimes those races just sort of fall in your lap. And then she came back in the Martha Washington, and she's beating overmatched fields. I mean, let's not pretend that these are particularly talent-laden fields, but she's winning like she's supposed to, and she showed she didn't need the fast pace. She could lay a little closer to the pace, and, you know, she ran like a 90-something buyer in her first win, 80, light high 80s in the Martha Washington, and low 90s on Saturday. And these are numbers that are approaching the numbers that Echo Zulu was running as a two-year-old, to be fair. Now, with Echo Zulu, sort of, I know she's worked a little bit, but there doesn't seem to be, I know that they've commented that they were in a hurry to make the Kentucky Oaks, which is fine, you know, and you don't really know how effective she's going to be in more competitive races going longer. She's obviously very good, and you hope that she comes back and even improves on that, but you don't know until they run. She's filled a void in that division, because that division is struggling a little bit overall. And there may be some new shooters. We'll see the Busher Saturdays. I mean, emerging there. But right now, especially with Echo Zulu being uncertain, she's the leader of that division. I mean, I can understand. Listen, if I were Wayne and the same crew that ran the Rebel was running the Arkansas Derby, well, she'll be a favorite. It's $1 million. She's got enough points to Ducky Oaks. Take a shot. I don't see her as a Kentucky Derby winner. At best, she's what you'd consider her a fringe contender, but that's Wayne's call and his owner's call, so I don't, they do whatever they want. I'm not one of these people that's rushing these fillies to always face the boys right away. Wayne's done it with success, and he's done it and lost, but he's certainly had more success than most, because unlike a lot of people, he's not afraid to try. Whether or not they do that remains to be seen. There's no disgrace winning race like Kentucky Oaks and the CCA Oaks and the Alabama. We'll see. Wayne will do what he does, you know. But I mean, she could run the Arkansas Derby and still run the Kentucky Oaks. But based on what we saw in the Rebel, I mean, the Rebel was a bit of an ugly race. Let's be honest; it wasn't a particularly beautiful race going in. I think a lot of people had expectations about Newgrange that weren't realistic. He obviously had some talent, but he hadn't done anything particularly special. He showed that he could run well in his prior start without having, you know, everything go his way. He had a good trip in his Oakland race, what was that, the Southwest. But in, you know, California, he rode at the rail, and he was very much with a bias that day. So he had a really kind of dressed up win. Was it a sham, maybe? And then when he came to Southwest, he ran fine, but he didn't run spectacularly. And he shouldn't have been odds on. He was only really odds on because where else do you go? You know, I was interested, obviously, in Lucas's horse, started very well. I was shocked. I thought the morning line was too high. I thought it would be half the price of the morning line. It was 12-1, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, the morning line of anything, they guessed low. He was 15-1. He ran the best race of anybody because he was wide. He was tacking the pace. The race was falling apart at the end. But let's not confuse that with a spectacular Kentucky Derby prep. And he gets cool in New York, Red 1. Not sure he's a registered New York bred, by the way. That's another story. The only person I know that had a New York bred that wasn't registered New York bred was Freddie Moe, who I recall from a number of years ago. That horse, remember the horse?
Yes.
Yeah. That horse, Bobby Barbera trained him. Doug got him to buy the horse.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but he's a nice horse, and, you know, I think it flatters the withers any way you want to look at it. It's very hard sometimes to judge some of these races in the winter at Akron, especially when the weather's kind of lousy. You know, you look at Saturday's track at Akron, last Saturday's times were quick, track very easy, I think, to judge. But there are days in the winter that are just ridiculous. You know,
Sure. Every
figure maker is pulling their hair out, and I don't know any figure maker that was confident in their number in the withers. You know, I mean, I'm sure Andy thought it probably could have been a little higher. I talked to Jerry Brown about it. He was struggling with it. And a lot of it was the last race was aberrationally slow, and there were questions. Now, Craig Bukowski for Time from U.S. had made it a strong number. And a lot of it was strong for early voting because he'd set such a fast pace. I think you have to reevaluate the winners after this win, and at least consider the possibilities of a better race than it looks, and obviously with early voting doing all the work, it moves him up a little bit. Still not sure he's worth the 18-1 that he was in the last Derby pool, but I think that's a function of Chad Brown and winning a prep race, you know, being sort of immediate in people's minds. I'm still not sure he's better than 40 or 50-1, but I'm not sure anybody is that much better than 40 or 50-1 at this point. And we'll see. He's going to wait for the Memorial, and we'll see what he does there. But other than that, I mean, I think this was a Derby prep where we eliminated horses more than we had them, I guess.
Right.
I think there was an improving horse that maybe, you know, with time and a better trip, he could move forward. But he still has to, even if you put his trip into account, the slow race, Pies Meyer, you know, which, hey, it's a big jump for him, and his horses kind of will improve, and we've certainly seen Wayne do it.
Well, and in addition to Ethereal Road, let's see, now he's got 20 points. That Barber Road, seems to, run competitively, each time out. And so John Ortiz, he's going to regroup and look for, the next opportunity.
We should run the Arkansas Derby. Why wouldn't he?
Of course he will. Absolutely
he
will.
He got an exceptional ride on Saturday's race. You know, he's been unlucky with the draw twice in a row. He ran very well in the context of the Southwest, the wide trip. So it wasn't shocking he ran well. You know, he saved all the ground, much like the winner did. But he was running at the end. I think in that group of horses, he very much fits, no question about it. The question is whether or not you think that group of horses is good enough to ultimately be Kentucky Derby material. I don't think they are. You know, the Arkansas Derby is a funny race. It's got a lot of presses. Oh, that's the road to the Kentucky Derby. That's what people say when they win. That's result-oriented, and a lot of it's had to do with Bob Baffert having right. good horses, and the best horses he's had, he shipped there, right?
Yeah.
I know Mont Beach, he went there as well, obviously, but it was a lot to do with Baffert. It was American Pharoah and then different horses, so is it the right route? Does it somehow elevate horses? No, the right horses is the right race.
Did you, we didn't talk last week, and since we're knee deep into Derby prep, and we've got the Gotham that'll draw tomorrow, along with what the Heavenly Prize and I think the Tom Fool, and you said the Busher, right? So that's the and the Busher.
You're knee deep in Arkansas. I don't know why I'm knee deep.
Well, did you have if I can ask you about Epicenter and from last week and at Fairgrounds, because that was a an impressive
breakout performance.
Yeah.
I have no argument. I mean, obviously he was able to control on the front end. They weren't walking, but he was able to get comfortable on the front end, and I think he showed that he's able to get comfortable on the front end. He can keep on running because he was very good. And, it'll be interesting to see. Are there going to be other speeds the next time he runs? How's it going to work out? I don't know. He's good. I mean, there's no denying it. He ran well in the LeCompte. He got hooked into a pretty quick pace that day.
Yeah.
I do think that if you're fans of Smile Happy, and particularly Zandon, I don't think that you're supposed to come out of that race disappointed. I think, in the case of Smile Happy, I don't think he ran great. But let's face it, the way the race was run, he wasn't going to win. He kind of saved ground, and he was ridden a little bit like a horse that was using it to move forward. And that's fine. And he ran well enough in the Kentucky race as a two-year-old to suggest that he's a good horse. How far he moves forward, how far he ultimately wants to go, well, that's the question for everybody, right? As far as Zandon, I thought he was the one horse that ran very, very well in there with an excuse. He didn't break. That's always an issue. You don't want them to keep getting left. He didn't break. He was back at last in a race that was dominated up front. He made a somewhat premature, I mean, I'm not blaming Jose. He was between a rock and a hard place. He wasn't going to win anyway. And, unlike Smile Happy, he ran his race for second, arguably. Not to say he didn't want to win, but he had a very comfortable, he broke well, he got his position, he saved ground, and he angled out while Zandon was making this premature wide run after getting left from farther back. And I thought he ran very well to be third there. So if you like Zandon, I think you're supposed to be happy, very happy with his performance. He'll go to the Bluegrass next, and we'll see how he does there. Not sure doing a Smile Happy, whether he's going to stay in Louisiana or go somewhere else. I guess we'll find out, but I think all of them are still potentially Derby horses. And I think, let's face it, that was a very strong prep going in. And as of now, I think it's the strongest prep coming out. I never know what to do with the Florida races. Obviously, I have mixed feelings in general about the Holy Bull. That's a number that came very high that I'm a little skeptical of. We'll find out more in the Fountain of Youth this weekend.
Well, and Fountain, of course, on the horizon, the Gotham, as mentioned, draws tomorrow, the San Felipe out west. So big trio of preps and, big state card in Florida in general with a little bit of everything. The three-year-olds on the grass and older, sprints, everything.
Oh, and obviously with the preps, it's not really the elephant in the room because people are talking about it, is the backer situation.
Yeah.
Those horses of his aren't going to be allowed to run the Derby unless they get a different trainer. Because to me, I don't have some inside information, but Churchill's done two things. A lot of people may predict that Bob will get a stay that will allow him to run horses, theoretically, in Kentucky that week. Okay. I assume that's a possibility. I wouldn't deny that. No judge is going to say, though, that he's being awarded Kentucky Derby points. His horses, if they stay in his barn, will continue to not earn points. So even if he's allowed to enter horses in Kentucky, they're not going to be in the Kentucky Derby because they won't have the points to get in unless there's under 20 entered and horses with 0 points are allowed to run. So even with an injunction, maybe I'm missing something. I'm certainly not involved in the case, but it seems to me that even with an injunction, he's not going to be allowed to run. So I don't really quite understand why people still consider them Derby contenders. I don't. I don't know how anybody thinks any horse that's in that barn and continues to run that barn at Derby preps can be considered a Derby contender. Whether they're Preakness contenders or Belmont contenders is a different story. Not Derby contenders as far as I'm concerned.
Unless
it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm not offering judgment. I'm not saying anything about how I personally feel about it. It seems to me it's a point of fact, right?
Yes, it does. And the longer we draw closer, to the considering that you're going to have these three sets of 50-point races on Saturday, then you're going to have the Tampa Bay Derby the following week. Essentially, if there's going to be some movement, and if any of those horses are going to be sent along to other, to other trainers, to other outfits to qualify, then it's going to have to happen.
I'm not passing judgment. I don't mean this in any way.
Understand.
I'm not going to say what owners should do or shouldn't do. That's their own personal decisions. They're their horses. They spend the money. They're going to make the choices they make. I understand. That's fine. But I don't understand how, even with an injunction, horses with no Kentucky, and it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that when they made that rule and they made a no points thing, they knew what they were doing. They
right.
were having just backup to, something else. And I don't. It's their race. They're allowed to set the conditions for it, and they did.
Well, and this came up this morning, actually, with Rick, with Hammerly, and because there was that last week, the floating of the suggestion that because there's restrictions, that the Derby is diminished, some other...
The racing's whole narrative.
Well, exactly, exactly. Well, but
I mean, this is just idiotic. Every big race that's run is missing. Was the Derby not the Derby when Escuderia got hurt? Was the Derby not the Derby when, umpteen horses, right, have gotten hurt?
Uncle Mo.
Plenty of top horses have missed the Derby for a variety of reasons. Many over the years. Many, many, many. Many more than we could even remember. So that's just a dopey narrative.
Well, Hammer actually countermanded by saying there's every potential avenue for those horses to qualify for the race, and the owners have every opportunity to do what was done with Life is Good and with anybody else along those lines. It's just a silly. It's a silly thing. It's a distraction.
With all due respect, who are the backer killers out there? I know Messier ran a big thing last time, and he deserves to be considered a top theoretical contender. But he did it on a biased racetrack, and we'll see what he does. And he's missing San Felipe, whether by design or not. Never that great a design, but, still. But other than him, who exactly is coming, not running this race that Corniche is on the farm, as far as I last read?
Yes.
So I don't think when you're on the farm of Marsh first, you're running the Derby.
Correct.
Even if you're loud.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know a lot about training, but I'm going to guess I'm right on that one. I'm sorry, who are all these monsters of the Midway that are being missed to the Kentucky Derby?
No,
it's not even, it's a narrative aside for discussion, to be honest with you.
I don't disagree, but I wanted to mention it as a one of the things that sort of bubbled oddly to the surface. I do want to ask, let's see, beside the 3-year-olds, we gave a nod yesterday. It just so happened that while I've been here at Oaklawn, we've spent some time with Jimmy DeVito, and Jimmy very close to both Jimmy Jerkins and, of course, Alan for many, many years. And so we had this funny conversation, and here's Green Light Go on Saturday in the Stymie, and happy for Jimmy Jerkins to have this one win another stake.
Makes you wonder what he might have done if they had never taken him out of Jimmy's farm.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I mean, you know, horses run so well for Jimmy. I understand there were some disappointments after his promising 2-year-old year. He was favored over Tis the Law in the Champagne with second place finish.
Yep.
And I understand it didn't go great for them early, but I don't know. Listen, once again, owners have a right to make the decisions they make. It's their money. It's their horses. They can do what they like. But it seems like he wasn't running so badly. I don't know what took place. Nonetheless, it's nice to see him back with Jimmy and flourishing. And I'm excited that he's heading towards the Carter. I'd love to see him and Jimmy win. That'd be great. I'm happy for him. And, you know, it's a tough game. And Jimmy's won a lot of big races, you know, for that stable. Don't forget Shaman's Ghost.
Yes.
You know, what a terrific job he did with that horse. And, you know, I'm glad to see him back with Jimmy and doing well. It's a rare story in racing where you feel like the right thing happened and it worked out well. So I'm glad for everybody.
Well, and you look at, you know, it's a horse that I'm just looking at the, let me go back to the wins. He, 4 of his 5 wins are under Jimmy's care.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Or the special, I think.
Yep.
His debut, you know, the favorite wasn't his debut.
And let's see, that was at Belmont on July 4th. How about that?
Dr. Post.
Oh, wow.
It was a huge favorite. He turned out to be a pretty good horse.
Yeah.
But he was the favorite there. Yeah. No, I'm happy to see him win. He's a nice horse. And, you know, we'll see what he does going forward. I think he'll be better at 7 furlongs, frankly, than a mile. I think he's fine at a mile, but I think 7 will be even better for him.
You know, it's interesting, actually, when you look at him, and here's a horse that, you know, he's a 5-year-old. Wherever he's gone, he's kept the best company. He is consistently, even when he's running in like allowances. He was in an allowance sprint last February here with Hollendorfer and Dan Ward, and he ran into Special Reserve. Then he ran in the Essex and the Silver State, and he's always running against good horses. The Salvatore Miles.
Except when they should not have in Canada run about synthetic.
Yeah, that, I mean, I get it, I guess, but.
You do? That's one of them.
Well, Frank, you know, Frank is, Frank does, you know, Frank is. Lives, you know,
Frank's Canadian. That means that they should all be running synthetic out of Woodbine.
Well, maybe you wanted to.
Do you have any good footage?
Well, that ended up being a pretty nice key race. He ran against Pink Lloyd and Not So Quiet, and then Super Stonehenge won for Mrs. Weber. That was the Vigil, the Grade 3. But this is exciting, and he has a chance in the Andy Serling Carter Handicap.
I like Carter could be a reinvestment risk. I don't know if he's pointing there.
Talk about that, and haven't had a chance to talk to Chad, but a 103 buyer, career best, and you know, the horse that is going to be dirtied up out of there, it was the Ian Wilkes Milliken, who had a bad start and then immediately got in trouble and then came running. He's going to be okay, too.
Well, I don't know, dirtied up. He is. I think everybody saw the trouble.
I guess.
Race.
Yeah.
He is a good horse. Listen, he's a horse that lost a photo to Olympiad. At Keeneland, and Olympiad is clearly a big time player. No, I mean, it's nice to see his horses back. Obviously, the reinvestment for his 3-year-old year was a complete, you know, disaster in the sense that he ran once against Falling Sea and pretty close to ease. He didn't run at all that day. And obviously had some issues. I don't know what they were, but he's back. And there's no worse than it was challenging Jackie's Warrior as a 2-year-old. I know Jackie's Warrior kind of easily got the best of him, but he was, you know, he was chasing him hard and still fought. I mean, he would have been a double grade one winner if it hadn't been for the presence of Jackie's Warrior. So, you know, he's got potential. You know, we'll see if he can build on that race. That was exciting. I agree.
Yeah, there was a lot. There were a lot of sort of under the radar kinds of, you know, allowance efforts, and every week there's 4-year-olds coming back that are adding to the handicap division or, you know, whatever division. That's a question, Andy, that you could have some insight, I suppose. I mean, what do you think reinvestment risks? You know, how distance wise, what do you think his range is in the intermediate term?
Well, I mean, everybody in that situation is hoping they can somehow win the Met Mile. Obviously, people's Met Miles hopes also revolve around flight line running in the Met. And since it doesn't appear we're going to get the life is good flight line matchup in the Met,
right?
I'm not sure the Met won't be a better race if flight line doesn't run. I'm not rooting against him. I hope he stays out. I hope he comes. You know, think about last year's Churchill Downs handicap, the grade one, excuse me, on Derby Day. That race was going to have a very small field because Charlatan was supposed to run. And then it was announced that he wasn't going to run. And they got about 73 horses in the race. Sometimes these races are better races. Now, it kind of was a very fun competitive race. It was a stinker of a grade one. So the sprint division was a shambles last year anyway, so I don't know, you know, what you're going to do to get a solid grade one of older horses in the country. That's not the fault of the racetracks. It was a very fun race. It was a good betting race, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, you got a 94 buyer, the winner. But those races sometimes are better, more competitive, fun races when a horse doesn't show. On the other hand, you don't skip a race because of one horse, and it's the Met Mile, and I think, you know, the Speaker's Corner of the world, the Olympiads of the world, both in Bill's Barn, but I have to imagine both of them are looking at the Met Mile. Reinvestment risk, Shaman's Go, you know, any of these horses, right? They're all, in theory, want to get the Met Mile. Whether they get there, whether they're good enough, and, you know, Flightline, he may show, but it's hard to have a lot of confidence in Flightline showing up anywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I believe you, I'm not in any, I mean, I love fast horses, but I'm not rooting against him showing up. It's just sort of a reality of racing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I still think it's the Met. You take a chance, especially he's coming to the race without a race and he's had his issues, and why would you take a shot against him, right?
Yeah. Agreed.
You don't win sitting in the barn, and you certainly don't want to sit in the barn in races like that.
Andy, looking ahead, I'm sure you've done some of your work for Friday. What should people anticipate in that $50,000 plus sequence on Friday?
Ooh, that card. It's like an early Breeders' Cup, in case you haven't looked at it.
I've got the PPs, but I haven't looked at it.
I'm being slightly sarcastic. My picks are up on the website.
You're unbelievable. You're amazing.
An 8-race car, Steve. It didn't exactly take me that much time. Can I hold my picks here and keep them in abeyance until the day before?
Yes. Keep everybody on edge. Refreshing.
Saratoga and busy with my mom, which is very nice, but it's not like, you know, it's about, I think it was about zero most of the day yesterday. We have a big day planned today, though. We're going to go CVS and the fish store. We got some big stuff coming up.
Before we wrap, tell everybody you loved the worst person in the world.
Yeah, the worst person in the world is great. My mom loved it, too.
I've heard
it's really great.
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday in Saratoga. It was me and my mom and nobody else.
Where was it made? I want to say Scandinavian?
Norway is in Oslo, so I'm assuming it's Norway.
Okay, I knew it was something. It was, you know,
I think it's actually was on Plus because Naj is still watched it there.
Naj, well, are you taking Naj to the French Film Festival?
He always goes to the French Film Festival. He's my true friend that always goes to French Film Festivals with me. But he's going to be in Saratoga, so he's out. We're going to an S game though. We are going to an S game on the 21st of March.
Nice.
We were original ticket holders when they started in Brooklyn.
Well, you may. Okay. Nice. Well, you may. All right. Well, Naj has got to be excited. He's got the New York bread. He's got a reason to go to Derby now.
I know. I know. His life is good. I saw him last night. He's very excited. He's glad that there's a New York Reds, so he can go represent the New York Reds in Louisville.
I love it.
Important man. He should be in the Derby anyway.
That's true. That's true. Well, Andy, this was great. I appreciate it. And
how's Casey doing?
He's good. He's getting, you know, he's getting, he was tired, and, you know, a week in the hospital does nobody any, you know, real favors, but
it might save your life.
Well, yes, that's true. It did certainly, going back a couple of years, but no, he's feeling good and getting there and fixing everything that was ruined in the studio. So, he's doing the job. He's making it happen.
All right. See you later, Steve.
Andy Serling, everybody, and the $50,000+ carryover coming up on Friday. We're going to get a visit in. This was overdue because I couldn't. We obviously, when we were in New Orleans, we had our issues, and so a chance to visit with Kevin Kilroy. I'm not going to let Mardi Gras go without. A glance at the steak, at the very least, and maybe Kevin's got another opinion or two. And at the same time, also, we've as I reach out for him, we've also got to get in, you know, a little of this, right? There we go.
Wait a minute. Yeah, everybody, just have some fun. Only live once when you're dead, you know. Let it roll. Have a good time, oh.
Le Bonton Roulet and Buckwheat Zydeco for everybody on Mardi Gras. And we certainly can't let Mardi Gras go on without a conversation about the steak today. And we'll go down to Fairgrounds right now. Kevin Kilroy joins us. Didn't get a chance to talk to Kevin when we were in town, but we're going to do it right now. Kevin, happy Mardi Gras. Hold on. There we go, Kev.
Happy Mardi Gras, Steve. Thanks for thinking on me. Everything is popping in New Orleans. We've got the races going, and the streets are full of people, and it's unbelievable down here.
Well, it was getting to crazy time last week when I left on Monday, and you know, the 3 days of around Risen Star, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, the parades, and I was on St. Charles at the Indigo, and you know, one after another, but they get bigger and bigger leading up to today, and tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, and so everybody has to get into Lenten mode then, but today it's let the good times roll, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
It's a nice card. Nice card, too.
Oh, yeah, it's a great card. I mean, there's the return of Colonel's Dark Temper. Really excited to see what he's got going next. And we've got a first-timer here, too, going Shirley with really interesting pedigree on the turf. Wooten Bassett Horse by out of Clara Luna. Could be really interesting, but, you know, we got that stakes race with LZ and Change of Control. You know, they had such a battle last time, such a battle, and they're going to go at it again today, and we'll see who comes out on top. I'll tell you what, that LZ horse, there's really nobody who's faster and fights harder, so I'm kind of giving the nod to LZ, although I love Michelle, love Change of Control. My heart hurts to pick against them.
Well, you know, you bring up Michelle, and going back to the Colonel Power on the Risen Star undercard, and, you know, she got beat, obviously Just Might, run down by Pyron, and that was the horse Michelle was worried about. But in the meantime, the non-stakes horses in the barn have been popping left and right. I think Michelle has won 3 races since last Saturday.
Yes, she has. She has. Just my sister won just earlier in the week, and that was really exciting. Got her maiden down, and looked great doing it. And Michelle's barn is definitely firing, which has kind of been the case all meet. It was sad to see Just Mike get beat there, but Pyron looked darn good coming flying down there in the middle of the turf track. That was an exciting finish for Al Stahl, I know.
Well, LZ and Change of Control headline this. There's, I suppose, Skinny Dip down inside. It'd be interesting to see how Brian Hernandez. I think he's got to go right 6-1. If you're looking for a price alternative, I think it's Skinny Dip for the balls for KK Ball and Michael and this an Into Mischief mare. Then I'm sure if she's stake placed, I'm sure they would love to get this one a stake win.
Oh, Steve, you're onto something there, I think, especially seeing the connections there. Greg Boley and Brian Hernandez Jr., they teamed up for 2 yesterday, and it looked really impressive. Koufax beat a really nice field with
Wire.
Trump in it and Spikes for Comet and, who else was in there? Umbrazo and a couple of other good ones, but they also went with Stitched, and nobody's riding better than Brian right now. And you're right, he's riding aggressive. He knows that on the front is the way to go with much of our turf runs, and I can see him sending from there, which would cause a lot of complications because Sail On Ellen, but talking to Michelle, she says that she's going to let her run her race, which is to the lead, to the front, you know, one dimensional, and we know that's the way LZ goes. So if they soften her up, that sets up really nicely for Change of Control, who's got that outside spot and should be able to sit off of it, you know, however close she needs to be.
You know, Eddie Keneally picks up this more than unusual, I suppose we should at least mention, because here's a more than ready mare that Brad Cox trained, last seen on Boxing Day in the Blushing KD. If this thing does collapse, more than unusual a candidate, but she's going to have to speed up to win this.
Yeah, she will. She will. She's going from the route to sprint. Never tried the sprint distance at 5.5. She's done the 6.5 at Kentucky Downs, but we all know that runs a little bit longer. And she'll have to speed up a little bit, but I'm right on there with you thinking about who's going to come closing, and more than unusual would be the one that I would pick to, you know, it's going to be tough to pick against Change of Control and LZ, but coming in there for the exotics for sure, I think this is the one.
Well, you mentioned Colonel's Dark Temper. That's the feature. That's the Mardi Gras. It goes off at 5:36 Eastern Time, 4:36 Central on this 9-race card. A $30,000 starter allowance goes as the 7th. That's where Colonel's Dark Temper shows up for Joe Sharp and Brian Hernandez Jr., last seen winning a 1.25 mile allowance on my mother's birthday and my wedding anniversary, September 17th.
Hey, I got married right around that same time, September 20th for me. See,
that's
we're
funny.
Going on 19 years. Yeah.
Well, the weird thing is here, Colonel's Dark Temper, 0-3 at Fairgrounds over the years.
Yeah.
Much more a Churchill type than a Fairgrounds type.
And 0-8 at this distance. So it seems to me like, you know, he wants to go longer, but I mean, I trust Joe, and you know, to put him in the right spot, and Brian's getting up again, and that last effort was a monster effort. So, you know, coming out for FAS Racing, I know they'll probably be here. They're exciting, the ownership group, and seems like a live one in here. But I tell you what, Intrepid Heart
oh,
ran
yeah.
so well here against Obesos, and just got purchased privately by Jack Wagon Stables, and you know, keep Joe Sharp as the trainer. Biscuitza is still up, and I think Intrepid Heart will be a little bit better of a price than that 3-1 warning line. It should be the one to play in here.
You mentioned Shirley. This is the Wooten Bassett for Al Stahl for Balmar, and that was that Clara Luna. I know she had a stake a steak baby by the name of Colonia that won a couple of stakes. Yes. But I tell you, the firster that I'm interested in, 10-1 on Shirley. There's also 10-1 on the Chris Hartman firster, Justin Nyquist. This happens to be a New York bred, and we talked to Ricky Corville yesterday about his New York bred in the Rebel. What do you like besides Shirley in this maiden special that starts the late pick four?
So I'm putting En Blushing on top. This 20-1 morning line horse from Brittany Russell. Last time out, just raced three horses, but the pace figures early were as sharp as I've seen on the turf course or on our dirt course. And I think this is going to transfer over to turf where they wanted to be originally by Mosler. You know, out of Blushing Bride. I think the pedigree's there, and Brittany Russell's barn does such a great job for getting their horses ready to roll. Angel Suarez is up. He's been winning a lot recently, and I feel like they're just going to send and see how it works out. And that's been going pretty well on our turf course. So if we can get a big price there, I love En Blushing on top. And what about this this Irish horse for Brad Cox here, Diamant Thompson, something like that, right?
Diamant Thompson, yep.
By Dandy Man, out of Happy Land, and we'll make this first start here, gets the Lasix on, and tries two turns for the first time. You know, Cox is going to only put this horse in if he's ready to roll, she's ready to roll.
Well, this is a private purchase, clearly, that Bob LaPenta and Sal Kumin got involved in, and we'll see what this one's got. You know, it's funny, Chad, Brad's got limited first-time North American numbers. This is only the fifth one. He's 1-for-4 so far with first North Americas based on formulator stats.
When you think about Janelle Monet, who just ran for him just a couple weeks back here, and she looked great. She almost got it done. Yep. I know Jose Ortiz was sad. It was at the end there. It was just a nose short of getting it done on the wire, but she looked great. So that's a good one to bring up and thinking about how Brad Cox is bringing these first-time North Americas over on our turf course.
Well, 2:05 Eastern Time, 1:05 Central, the Mardi Gras card, always a highlight of the season. And, of course, after this, start to look down the road to Louisiana Derby, and Epicenter's win continues to resonate. And Kilroy Horse FG, Kevin Kilroy, who you enjoy on the feed from the fairgrounds. Kevin, enjoy the day. Enjoy the king cake. Get the baby.
I got the baby last night, and my son got it this morning because we're just eating it about every meal right now. But yeah, it's you know, just so excited to be down here. I've got a nice little jockey silks on for my Mardi Gras costume, so I'll be wearing that on air. We'll be having a great day at the track. Tune in for sure. Bet these races. We've got a great card for you, and let the good times roll.
Well, get the picture of Amos. We got to see what Amos's costume is this year. Always an important consideration on Mardi Gras Day. Kevin, thanks so much for this, and thanks for the hospitality last week.
Yeah, it was great having you here, Steve. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Kevin Kilroy, and again, Kilroy Horse FG. Follow Kevin, who's doing a great job at Fairgrounds with Joey Decay, with Joe Christofek. We've got about 10 minutes, and going to reach out for Papo. Papo will be on again Friday with some of his some of his opinions, but I want to get him in here. And while I reach for him, because it is the 1st of March, and because it is a great tradition, here on At the Races, a request clearly went out last night. Ryan Brady asking me, and here we go. Give you a little bit of.
Everything goes out like a lamb.
Here we go.
Here to reply is our chief meteorologist, John Belushi, with a seasonal report.
Thank you, Chevy. Well, another winter is almost over, and March true to form has come in like a lion, and hopefully we'll go out like a lamb. At least that's how March works here in the United States. But did you know that March behaves differently in other countries? Norway, for example, March comes in like a polar bear and goes out like a walrus. Or take the case of Honduras, where March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a salt marsh harvest mouse. Let's compare this to the Maldive Islands, where March comes in like a wildebeest and goes out like an ant. A tiny little ant about this big. Oh, unlike the Malay Peninsula, where March comes in like a worm-eating fern bird and goes out like a worm-eating fern bird. In fact, their whole year is like a worm-eating fern bird. Or consider the Republic of South Africa, where March comes in like a lion and goes out like a different lion. Like one has a mane and one doesn't have a mane. Or in certain parts of South America, where March swims in like a sea otter, then it slithers out like a giant anaconda. There you can buy land real cheap, you know? And there's a country where March hops in like a kangaroo and stays a kangaroo for a while, and then it becomes a slightly smaller kangaroo. Then for a couple days, it's sort of a cross between a frilled lizard and a common house cat. Wait. Then it changes back into a smaller kangaroo, and then it goes out like a wild dingo. Now, it's not Australia. Now you'd think it would be Australia, but it's not.
One of my absolute favorites, and we just can never miss the opportunity on March 1, and it, the fact that it coincided with Mardi Gras only enhancing the day's activities. Papo going to join us now, and Papo Morales, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Papo, I'm sure people noticed. I sent out on Friday afternoon. You had three of the races for the weekend here at Oaklawn, and we're able to give everybody the form to win the new appearance. Give everybody the update.
Yes, we're probably 2 weeks out from releasing it to everybody. I mean, I'm on it pretty much every day now. There's still some things that need to be tightened up, but I'm working on that now. So we hope to make it available in 2 weeks. And in addition to that, when we do release it, we'll have a big announcement that I'll have to tell you about. I can't give out any more information on that right now. But we're excited. We're excited to be able to offer it to players. And so it continues to do well. I think probably the best play last week was, you know, Latruska was the chalk at that Royal Delta, but it had Enda Vanishing, who went off at a big price, ranked second. I think if you had that exact, it'd pay $24 for $2. So continues to find those horses as obscure runners, using that average form to win time.
Well, and we'll look forward. I mean, it's going to be, frankly, we've got almost too much to look forward to. We could put out a parade of especially with the early, you know, with the early PPs, although they won't be available until later in the week, so we can look at everything between New York and California and Florida.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that Fountain of Youth, Steve. We'll see what Mo Donegal does, whether they end up scratching and pointing to somewhere else. But I like the, just quickly running through information this morning. I like the two Not This Time Colts and the Fountain Youth. You know, Simplification, it will be a lower priced horse, but that In Due Time for Kelly Breen, just going off his last, he fits on numbers. I know Kelly's kind of high on him, so I'll be interested to see what the morning line is on that particular race.
Well, we got plenty to look forward to, and tomorrow undoubtedly I'll as I've been doing with Dick Powell on Wednesdays, we look at the Happy Valley. You know, for those you go down to the settings, and you can switch to Southern Hemisphere, and look at for those that play Australia and Hong Kong, Sha Tin and Happy Valley. I find it because of the way they operate, those cards at Hong Kong. It's a particularly helpful, given how often the horses run and that it's basically, it's basically a weight scenario, and horses go up and down the scale, and form to win, very effective in that setting.
Yeah, as long as we have good data sets to work with, Steve, it's putting out winners on a regular basis. And I just want to remind people, it is presenting past performance data in a different view, and then you can manipulate the data however you want to find the winners. But that's all up to the user, and we're going to probably build in my filters, so it just makes it easier for everyone.
Nice.
So just some added things. And I did look at two plays today, real quick.
Go ahead.
Fairgrounds. Yeah, Fairgrounds race 7. And I know Intrepid Heart and Colonel's Dark Temper are going to take money, but the number 4, Lord Dragon, absolutely fits. I think that horse is a runner for Chris Hartman. And then in race 8, LZ and Change of Control fit, but the prize horse when she's coming off a layoff is that Skinny Dip.
Yep.
At 6-1 absolutely fits on form to win. So only a couple of works coming in, but she can run back to her runs last year. She absolutely fits it. At a square price.
I thought so, too. I thought she was an interesting alternative. Well, Papo, we will talk on Friday. We'll get some plays for the huge weekend of racing. And just a couple of weeks away from the new Form to Win interface. Good to talk, Papo. We'll talk Friday.
Yeah, take care, Steve. I'll talk to you Friday.
Papo Morales, everybody. PapaCore1 on Twitter. And Form to Win. Go to the App Store and download. And 2 free races a day, get acclimated, and we're getting excited about gearing up. We're getting excited about the day, and of course, we'll send you out with one of the greats. A very happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Hope you enjoyed a frenetic morning here with Hammer and then Nick Zito, Ron Moquette, Sandy Montgomery, a surprise visit, Andy and Papo. Enjoy the day, everybody. Thanks so much. Tomorrow, HBPA convention kicks off here at Oak Lawn.
Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey.
Shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield and EPO Equine can help you? Contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
At the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.